It's good to be here. Thank you for that special music. It's something truly a highlight of the feast. I truly enjoy is that special music. Well, there were nearly 9,000 people there. I'd never seen that many people before in my entire 16 years of life. This is my first feast I attended. It was in Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. Anybody ever been there? I knew it had to be a few people here. I see a lot of gray hairs, just like mine. Let me give you a little information on how I got at that place. My parents began getting the plain truth when I was about 4 years old. We never attended church. They never did get there. But my oldest brother was about 18. He found out there was a church nearby within an hour. So he and another brother of mine started attending. I was 15 years old when I first started attending church, right after the spring holy days, I well remember. And as it came later that summer, everybody talked about this thing called the feast. I had no idea what the feast was. What is the feast? Well, I talked to several people, and they would tell me, of course, I was talking to teenagers, they would tell how much fun the feast is, how enjoyable it is. And again, I never even heard of it, and I was not prepared for it in any way, shape, or form. And I was only 15 years old, so I missed that first feast. But I decided that year that I would attend the next year, which meant I had to save my second tithe, which I did. I had to buy a car so I could get there, which I did. My parents did not attend the church. And the brother that did attend, they had moved away, so that meant that I'd have to go there by myself to go to the feast. After having a discussion with my parents, I was able to go. I'll come back on that discussion a little bit later. But I was able to go to the feast. So traveling together, I traveled with a caravan of about, probably 8 cars or so. There were a bunch of teenage boys my age, a little older, and some older men, 21, 22, a whole lot older. My purpose today is to give you and to share with you the lessons I learned at my first feast. These lessons are just as important now as they were when I first learned them. Title of the sermon is, Lessons I Learned My First Feast. Lesson I Learned My First Feast. So let's look at the first lesson. The first lesson was the example set by God's people. The example set by the brethren in the church. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read verses 14 through 16. Again, that's Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Those of you who have been to the Lake of the Ozarks, you understand what I'm talking about. And those who don't, how many roads come into the feast site? The Lake of the Ozarks. One. One small two-lane road. 9,000 people, 20,000 cars. At least that's what it seemed like to me. There's probably 4,000 cars. But if you look at the parking lot, you couldn't see the end of the cars. Huge parking lot. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is hid, sat on a hill, cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And what a light God's people set for me. I never heard, and it may have happened, but I never heard a single car horn blow. I never heard a single person yelling at the person in front for cutting me off. I never heard any complaining as they sat in line waiting to get out. I'm confident it probably happened somewhere, but I never heard it, never saw it. I watched the men working the parking an hour and a half after each service just to clear that parking lot, and not even probably completely within an hour and a half. And yet they were there, they were smiling, they were happy, joyful. They patiently, those in the line, patiently waited and followed the example of where to go, when to go. I learned rather quickly, don't be in a hurry. Stay in the tabernacle, fellowship for an hour and a half. Then you can get out without a problem. There's no reason to be in a hurry. Psalm 133, verse 1. Another thing that I saw, another lesson when it comes to the example of the brethren. Psalm 133, verse 1. Most of us who've been around for a while recognize this verse. One that I observe very much in God's people, the very first feast that I went. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, dwell together in unity. There we were, 9,000 people. Everyone was excited to be at the feast, excited about the coming kingdom of God, excited about Jesus Christ coming back and setting this world in the right way. No more wars. No more violence. Peace. Peace and blessings that would fill the entire world. That's what everybody was talking about. It seemed like everybody was unified there, waiting for the kingdom of God. Another aspect of the example of people that I saw was the willingness to share. The willingness to share. Like I told you, there was no one more unprepared to go to the feast than me. And I mean totally unprepared to go to the feast. I'd never been there before. I never had housing at the feast. There was a group of us young men, though they were staying at the campground. I thought, well, I can stay at the campground, right? I can sleep in my car. I didn't even have a sleeping bag. Well, I can't say I really thought that through very well. But, you know, again, 16, you don't know what you're doing. And so they had the young men, but hey, just come to campgrounds. They got showers, you know, you will share food and all that. No big deal. Okay, so that's great. Except for Missouri, late October, it's not warm at night. Not by any means. I felt like I almost froze to death the first night. I don't think I slept maybe a couple hours the entire night trying to sleep in my car. Didn't work so well, but it didn't matter. I was prepared to stay. I was going to stay at the feast. But a man from our local church here heard about my plight that next day. He invited me to stay with in his hotel room with another young man, just a little older than I am, from the same area. He said his wife didn't come to the feast with him because she wasn't in the church. So he invited me to stay with them in a nice warm bed. It was great. It was fantastic. There was extra space in that room. That's an example I have not forgot. I'd like to quote Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Hebrews 13, 16 from the New Living Translation. It says, quote, "And do not forget to do good and to share with those in need. These sacrifices that please God." There he was, willing to sacrifice because he had extra and he knew I needed something. Again, that's a kindness I have never forgotten. It made it possible that I could enjoy the rest of the feast, and I did appreciate it very much. The next lesson I learned, and this has been talked about quite a bit already, was rejoicing at the feast. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14, we read verses 20 through 26 again. It's been read earlier, but we're going back there again. Rejoicing is extremely important. It's an amazing plan that God had set up so his people can rejoice before him at the feast. Deuteronomy chapter 14, starting in verse 22. "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat it before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain, of your new wine, of your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe. Or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hands and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink. For whatever your heart desires, you shall eat it before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. We think about that plan, that amazing plan that God has made for us. He has promised to bless us. He has promised to give us things extra. He promised, you know, we take our 10%. If we tithe faithfully, take it to the place where he chooses. And then he tells us to spend it on what makes the feast special. And in verse 26, he commands us to rejoice with our family and all those at the feast. Again, what an awesome plan God has set up in his plan. We faithfully tithe. We have 10% of our income to spend in 8 days, maybe 10 days. You think about how much 10% of our income. You notice what God did not say here? He did not say that we are to go to the feast and be very somber. Go back to your hotel room, to your tent afterwards, close the curtains, sit in the dark, eat bread, drink water. He didn't say that, did he? Be like Eeyore, you know, woe is me. He didn't say that. He said, go and rejoice. Enjoy his feast. Have a wonderful feast. Enjoy what he has given. So there I was with my feast, tithe, $300. That's all I had. There were a lot of things to spend it on at that time, too. One of the things I noticed when you drove into the Lake of the Ozarks, and for those who've been there before understand this, of course, the first sign would come say, Welcome Worldwide Church of God, of course. But all the restaurants had a sign on it. I don't know if you remember this. We have beef bacon. We have beef sausage. Every restaurant in that place had that. I'd never eaten either one before, so of course I had to try both of them. You know, as a young man, food is pretty important. So I did. I tried them. It was great. It was fantastic. I came from a family which we didn't really have a lot of extra money. Eating out, I didn't know what that meant. It would be a novelty. We had no extra money. So to be able to eat out at the feast and try these new and interesting foods truly made me rejoice. I remember that was, it shows you how you remember things. That was the first time I ever had smoked turkey. I love smoked turkey. Also had champagne. Champagne was okay. I wasn't so keen on that. But to smoke turkey. And also the area, if you were there, it's kind of like Panama City Beach in some ways. Lots of go-karts, lots of attractions, and they all opened during the feast for us. It was a lot of fun for a teenager. A lot of places to rejoice in. They also had a place near the Bagnell Dam they called the Dog Patch. And in the Dog Patch, they had all kinds of shops and games and different things. Yeah, they didn't have video games. We had pinball. You know, there was ancient history. But hey, pinball was the thing to do at that time. It was a lot of fun. There were also a lot of church activities for teens because there were hundreds of teenagers at the feast at that time. It was a lot of fun. It was a great place to rejoice. So I learned that God gave his people great blessings to attend his feast. Not only to attend, but to enjoy the feast, to rejoice at the feast. To be glad at the feast, to have fun at the feast. And as a teenage boy, having fun was pretty important. Still important. Still enjoy it. Maybe a little different, maybe not climbing mountains anymore, but it's still great to rejoice at the feast. And the rejoicing is good, and the rejoicing comes with no problems if we stay within the laws of God, doesn't it? We can all have all kinds of fun, and we should have all kinds of fun, as long as we don't do something we regret later. That's not fun. And unfortunately, not everyone does this, and that brings me to the next lesson I learned at the feast. Not everyone does what is right at the feast. Not everyone does what is right at the feast. And it was a lesson that I was good to learn. As I said earlier, we went to the feast. I went to the feast without my parents. I traveled with a group of gentlemen my age. The feast site was about an 8-hour drive from where we lived. And so we decided to spend the feast halfway. And there's about 8 or 10 of us traveling together. The older men had rented a hotel room. It was in a hotel where many church members rented. I guess this was a common place for them to stop halfway. Again, this is all brand new to me. I had no idea what was going on. But it's going to prove to me probably one of the most interesting nights I've had, at least up to that time. I was very tired at that time, and I just laid down with sleep on the floor. I go to bed early. Was then at that time, still am. The reason I wanted to get to bed was I'm excited because, you know, the feast was only 4 hours away. I get to experience this thing. So I just went to sleep. However, the others in the room had a little different plan than I had. Some of the older men had decided they'd go out and buy some whiskey, some liquor. Again, you know, that's one of the things you can buy, strong drink, which they did. The problem was most of us were under 18 in the room. Go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, and we'll read verses 29 through 35. Proverbs chapter 23. And this was a new experience for me, to be honest with you. I had not been around much when it comes to alcohol at that time, and I'm not a party animal. I wasn't then, and I'm still not now. And I slept through all that partying that night. I was pretty tired. When I woke up, it was a different story. Proverbs chapter 23, starting in verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. For at the last it bites like a serpent. It stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, one who lies on the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They beat me, and I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? Again, when I got up that next day, the only time I woke up in the night was I guess when all the partying was going on, somebody stepped on my hair as I was laying on the floor. I pulled a chair over my head, and they left me alone. But when I woke up the next morning, I couldn't believe what I'd seen. They had gotten so drunk and so sick and literally had vomited on every place on that hotel room except for where I was laying. I felt so sorry for the maids to come in. Just pull it up and burn it. It was really, really bad. And I asked the guys, I said, look, guys, really? Really? You know, they all woke up sick and just sick as dogs. And I said, is this fun? Is this really what you want to do? And they said, oh, no, we're all sorry. We're sorry we did it. We'll never do it again. But as we read right here, when shall I wake? It says. 3 days later at the feast, guess what? They did it again. They got so sick they couldn't attend services for a day or two. So some people do things that are not correct at the feast. That's not rejoicing at the feast. That's getting drunk. There's a big difference. There's a big difference in enjoying a drink, enjoying wine, something like that, and getting drunk. That's not the way that you and I are supposed to keep the feast, is it? That's not rejoicing before God. Turn to Psalm 119, we'll read verses 9 through 11. There's no sorrow. If you think about it, there's no sorrow. There's no regrets in the way that God wants you and I to have fun at the feast. Psalm chapter 119, verse 9 through 11. Again, if there's any young men or women, or even old men or women keeping the feast, these words, we need to take these words to our heart. Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man or woman cleanse his ways? by taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I've sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's what you and I have to have. We have to have that. NIV puts verse 9 this way. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Not everyone comes to the feast the right reason. Again, if someone, especially those who are younger, if someone entices you to do something against the word of God, don't do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. Don't do it. Keep yourself pure. Have fun. Rejoice God's way. And you'll have no shame. You'll have no shame or no sin that will result from doing it the wrong way. Let's go to lesson number 4. Go to Psalm chapter 16. Read verse 11. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. Lesson number 4 is joy in the presence, joy and peace in God's presence. Joy and peace in God's presence. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. Another lesson, again, that I learned was the great joy, the peace that comes by obeying God, keeping his feast. It was wonderful to come to services with all of God's people, to rejoice, to feel the excitement, to see everybody happy and excited about being there. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The New Living Translation puts it this way. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasure of living with you forevermore. That's what I learned, even as a young man, why we're keeping the feast. God's way of life that brings joy. It brings that joy and that thought about what? Living forever in the kingdom of God. What joy there is there. Psalm 119, verse 165. This is an important, again, verse to remember, because there are some things that happen at the feasts, as I talked about a little earlier. But this particular verse helps us deal with that. Psalm 119, verse 165. Most of us know this scripture. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. You know, you and I, if we love God's law, we may see things that are done that are not necessarily appropriate at times. We see people making mistakes, yet we should not cause us to stumble or be offended. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Because you and I know that we are people. People make mistakes. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You and I should not be offended when these things happen. We may not like them. We spend time praying about them. And if we have to do something about it, then perhaps we can do that. But we shouldn't say, oh, look at those people. Look what this one person did to the whole church. All God's laws are worthless. We shouldn't be like that. We know that people are the problem at times, not the law of God. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 2. Verse 3, sorry. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Isaiah tells us where to keep our mind, or as the New Living Translation says, whose thoughts are fixed on God. If we have that mindset, we will have that perfect peace, even when things go wrong, and they will on occasion, as we know, go wrong. Psalm chapter 33. Read verses 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 33. Another, one more point about peace and joy at the feast. The peace and joy at the feast was a special joy that special music brought. Oh, I love special music. I'm a person who loves music to begin with. And the music we hear at the feast is awesome. The special music is wonderful. David wrote about here in Psalm chapter 33, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with a harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. I don't know too many of us who get up and shout for joy, but sometimes you almost feel like it when you hear the special music, don't you? It's awesome. And I realized this is a few years ago, that we had considerably larger choirs at that time. And I do remember one of the special music they did I'd never heard before, and that was the Hallelujah Chorus. I loved it. It was awesome. It was something I looked forward to every year. If they were fortunate enough where I was going to feast, to have the Hallelujah Chorus. It was awesome. And of course, again, I realized that the choirs were bigger. The choirs we have today do a fantastic job as well. I love the special music, but I just remember that's the first time I ever heard Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus. And I thought, that is awesome music. Awesome. I still love hear the special music every time. It's beautiful. It's a great honor to God to give him praise, to give him glory through the music. So let's go to the fifth lesson I learned. We're going to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. The fifth lesson I learned was obedience to parents, even those not in the church. Obedience to parents, even those not in the church. I have to go back to the beginning of the sermon to fill you in on this particular point. Like I said, my parents were not in the church. The brother that attended with me had moved away. And I was the only one there that attended services in my entire family. So 2 or 3 weeks before the feast, I started talking to my mother about this. And I told her I was planning to go to the feast. After we talked a little while, she said, shouldn't you ask your father and me first? Being a 16-year-old who was a little bold, I said, well, sure, I'll ask. But it really doesn't matter. I'm going to the feast. Well, guess what? They weren't real happy with that answer. As you didn't figure they would be. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. But they could see I was determined to go, and I think, obviously, to me, God intervened so that I could attend the feast. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. It was something I had to learn. I'd be honest with you, I don't know if it was talked, this particular verse was talked about during the feast. I don't remember the sermons at the feast. I'm sorry. I don't remember any of them. But for some reason, this came into my mind, and I realized that I'd not followed these verses when it come to my behavior towards my parents prior to the feast. So the first thing I did when I got home, I went and apologized to my parents. And told him I shouldn't have said it that way, and I'm sorry, and they forgave me, which led to peace. Peace is a good thing, right? We had no problems from then on when it came to that. And now for my last point, the last lesson I learned at the feast. The last lesson I learned was prepare to return the next year. Prepare to return the next year. After I experienced the blessing of attending God's feast for the first time, I made my mind up that I would never stop attending the feast. Leviticus chapter 23, 41, I'll read it from the New Living Translation. Because God tells us to keep the feast every year. He says, you must observe this festival to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. And you shall celebrate it in the 7th month. I had prepared, again, made my mind up to continue. This is my 48th feast that I've kept. And every year, I learn more and more about God's way of life. Every year I look forward to these days. I yearn for these days. Look forward to being with the people. Look forward to being with the hearing the messages, to rejoicing before God. What a tremendous blessing we have. What a tremendous blessing we have. And as I finish up here today, I want all of us just to take a little time, perhaps during the feast, consider what lessons you may have learned, either this feast or maybe feast before. Take some time to think about it a little bit. It's important. You know, those lessons, even though they were 47 years ago, 48 feasts ago, I remember them to this day. They're important lessons. But you know what? The most important lesson that I've learned over the years of coming to the feast is how much God loves us. How much Him and Jesus Christ have set this plan, the price that was paid for you and I. What God has planned for all of mankind. The salvation for everyone who is willing. That is something that's a tremendous blessing. We've been given that understanding now. And eventually this world will be. Again, what a tremendous, God just gives us that little glimpse, that little foretaste of what's coming. And we know the feast is awesome and wonderful, but compared to the reality to come, it's nothing in some ways, is it? We all yearn for that time. There's another first feast I look forward to, and I'm sure everyone here does as well. It's a feast that you and I will remember forever. That first feast that we keep when Jesus Christ returns. When He brings back the gods of government and sets up this world, changes this world, makes this world again at peace. I think that is a feast, a first feast that we will never, ever forget. So rejoice and have a wonderful rest of the feast.